Hello and welcome to Guess What? You're wrong.
Enjoy the show.
Okay, let's go ahead and get right into this. Today, we are going to dive into comics. Now, for various reasons, I don't regularly purchase any of the major two, the Marvels or the DCs, for myself. Although I do have a young son who is very much into the MCU and very much into Iron Boy. So, various Marvel Comics titles get purchased for him. So, in fact, the mouse does get about 15 bucks a month from me in comics. Now, a little bit of history about me in comics. To start off, I'm not a professional comic reviewer, critic. All right, I'm an average Joe Blow guy off the street that enjoys comic books. So, in the late 80s, early 90s, I was heavily into the comic books. Spider-Man, Batman were my gig. Warriors of Plasm. There was a bunch of different titles that I used to read back in the day. Local friend at a comic book store. I used to hang out there, get new titles whenever they came in. I actually got to meet Kyle Hoetz there. Kyle Hoetz is a big name in the industry now. But I did get to meet him back in the day as well. Fast forward. I'm a lot older now. Wanted to go out and check out some more comics and get my kids into comics as well. Went to the local comic book store. Picked up a few titles of names that I was familiar with. Took them home. Read them to my kids. And had to sit back and think to myself, am I that old that comics just don't ring with me anymore, or do they just suck? Turns out that they were actually just shitty comics. The writing wasn't that great any longer. So I started a journey, finding some comics, looking for comics that I could get into again and that I could get my kids into and give them that same kind of excitement that I had when I was younger. The journey brought me to the Absolute Comics Group. Now, who are the Absolute Comics Group? Let's read directly from their website. The Absolute Comics Group is an imprint of Red Giant Entertainment Incorporated. It was developed to give a cohesive brand to the shared universe titles under the Red Giant umbrella, making it easier for consumers and readers to know that the books they're reading are indeed connected. This includes titles such as Wayward Sons, Amped, Katrina, Dual Identity, Wayward Legends, Darshan, First Defense, and White Widow, with many more to come. These titles span a variety of genres such as superhero, action, adventure, horror, thrillers, science fiction, fantasy, and humor, to name but a few. However, while the various themes may differ, the one constant is that they inhabit the same world, and what happens in one can invariably affect them all. Now, this has been a case for larger comic companies, but smaller independents find it harder to break through this barrier. We believe we have cracked the code, and the successes of our initial titles and finding their audience seem to indicate that we're onto something. Thus begins the absolute best era of comics. Again, that was from their website. Now, let me start by saying this here. I don't have any affiliation with the Absolute Comics Group. They haven't given me any money or any free comics going into this. All the comics titles from Absolute Comics that I have, I purchased myself. Now, I have gotten into a few issues of the various titles from the Absolute Comics Group. I got Amped, Darshan, Dual Identity, First Defense, Katrina, Wayward Sons, and White Widow. Now, while they do have other titles available, these are the ones that I currently have on hand right now. Let's go ahead and start with Amped. From their website, the Amped Project is a revolutionary method for giving mobility to people that face physical challenges by allowing them to transfer their minds into android bodies. Funded by the government, the prototypes have vast powers and military applications, which now puts the young test subjects in the crosshairs of powerful enemies that want the technology for themselves. So, Amped. The first issue, like it says in the description here, physically disabled young kids, I wouldn't know if they're kids, but younger people, can transfer their mind into these androids. These androids have powers, fly. You know, some of them are fast. Some of them can have physical light shields and kind of like a Psylocke-esque ability. It's a good title. It's something that I had never even thought about being in comics, you know, with physically disabled people being in a superhero situation or position. But this is interesting. But of course, because everything is government funded, you know there's a big baddie coming around the corner that's going to be wanting that technology. And that's where the first issue ends. An attack on the facility where the kids are. And what's going to come next? We're going to have to wait and find out until we can delve into issue number two. So the second title I have here is Darshan. From the Absolute Comics Group website, Darshan Black guards the portal between light and darkness. When nightmares from the other side threaten our reality, he is the last defense. The Master of Magic holds secrets that we can only begin to imagine. What will happen when they are revealed? So to start off with, we first had androids and the terror that they can create. Now we have a magician or a sorcerer. The first issue of Darshan. Now you got to remember, all these titles are first issues, so they're world building here. They are going to be a little bit slow at times. They're given history. And in order to find out what goes on after these first issues, you need to delve into the issues themselves going forward. Darshan is very similar to that. It's pretty slow. Give some history, has some flashbacks. About Darshan in his past. Comes to a point where his help is needed. The lives of some women are in jeopardy, and he's needed. He needs to make a decision as to what he's going to do. And that's pretty much where that issue ends. Good title. Like I said, a little bit slow, but can only expect greater things going forward. Okay, and the next title, Dual Identity. From their website, a brief synopsis. Artemis is the world's greatest secret asset. She's a spy, an assassin, and a superhuman secret agent all rolled into one until her cover is blown. Now she must adopt a public persona as the world's first superheroine, Andromeda. Can this trained killer pretend to be something she's not? Dual Identity. Interesting. I'm probably going to be pretty repetitive as far as saying these issues are interesting. This trained assassin, she has this nanobite swarm that they've injected into her, which gives her super strength, speed. She can change her appearance. She can go invisible or kind of cloak. So she has these super abilities, but she's like an assassin-esque type of person. Well, she's going to France to assassinate somebody. Well, something goes awry. The person that she's supposed to assassinate, she ends up not assassinating, and this person thinks that she saved him. And it was all caught in film. So now her image is out there in the public, and this person that she was supposed to assassinate now wants to offer a reward because he wants to thank her for saving his life. So now her image is out in the public view. And our girl, Artemis, has to figure out what she's going to do. Good title. I really enjoyed this one as well. The artwork in these is pretty good as well. So, I mean, these storylines are storylines that are getting me intrigued and pulling me in. And it makes me happy to read them again. Happy to feel this way when I'm reading comics again. So out of those three titles, we're doing good. And on to the next one. So the next title we have here is called First Defense. And a synopsis from their website once again. Let's see. The president's daughter, Tasha Tasker, learns her destiny when she is pulled into a secret supernatural enclave beneath the White House. She's just the latest in a long line of first children who were granted powers and have lain in stasis. Now, they're waking up, and she must lead them to combat a threat from beyond the stars. That was from the Absolute Comics website. First Defense. All in all, decent. I like the concept of the storyline. Basically, we have a bunch of children from past presidents, all the way back to Abe Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln's daughter is one of them. You have President Reagan's son. Now, all these kids that were taking out of their time and given these superpowers by this alien. So they've gotten these superpowers and everything, and then they were put into stasis, like sleep chambers, until the time that they were needed. Now, Tasha Tasker is the current president. Current president's daughter. She is the first child that has been given these superhuman powers, these superpowers, and hasn't been put in stasis and hasn't been kept a secret. All of the other children that have been taken from their time, the alien made everybody forget about them. They never existed, so nobody missed them. Tasha Tasker actually, she wears a pink uniform or suit, flies around and battles villains and all this good stuff. Now, she is supposed to be the head of the First Defense, which is the First Defense is all these first children from the presidents. Interesting. Tasha Tasker, her dad, I from what I can gather here, it looks like may have been modeled after vaguely after Obama, because first black president and all. But First Defense was good. I enjoyed that read. I'm going to look forward to getting the second issue of that one as well. Now on to Katrina. And from the Absolute Comics website. Set during the events of Hurricane Katrina, this story is inspired by the real mythology surrounding the origin of vampires in America. Now the hurricane that bears the name of the Vampire Queen herself will set her free on an unsuspecting modern world. Katrina, I would say, out of all the books that I've read so far from Absolute Comics Group, I would say this one is my least favorite. Of course, it's a slow read. It's build up. Basically, you have police. You're looking at the view of the police force during Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, trying to make sure everybody's evacuated, all this stuff. You know, at the very end of the book, the hurricane is right there on them. So there's two police officers, a female and a male. Man and woman are stuck in New Orleans, and now they don't know what they're going to do. And Hurricane Katrina is barreling down on them. I think this book has some potential. I will get issue two, see if it if the writing gets any better and leads up to anything else. But as of right now, like I said, Katrina was my least favorite so far of all the Absolute Comics Group books. And on to the next one. Wayward Sons. Wayward Sons. And from the Absolute Comics website, as introduced in the hit comic Markiplier comic series and spinning off from the massively successful webcomic, Wayward Sons follows a group of young adults who have learned that their parents were once worshipped as gods throughout human history. Now they must band together to protect humanity from their own parents. Wayward Sons. The idea behind this, you know, these kids finding out that they have powers. You need an adrenaline rush to make your powers come out. It's a good story. It's a good idea. Good concept. I think that the writing in this one here, though, wasn't the greatest. To me, it felt like it was rushed. They tried to put too much. I know it's kind of, I've been saying that everything's slow burn, slow reads. But this one here, it seems like they tried to rush everything that they could into, you know, 22 pages or whatever they give you on this. I think the story could be better. Maybe it'll get better over time. Just with the writing itself and how everything felt rushed. This is better than Katrina. But I would not say it's anywhere near my favorite of the Absolute Comics Group's books that I have. And here we have come to the final stretch, the last two comics from the Absolute Comics Group that I have. The first one here, let's go over the next title, White Widow. So, real quickly, let's head to the website again, and we'll get a quick brief synopsis of White Widow is about from the Absolute Comics website. Gabrielle Garcia was a typical American girl going to college to follow in her father's footsteps. Or so she thought. One night, her father barged into her dorm room, suffering from a fatal gunshot, and injected her with something. That was the moment she became the White Widow. Now, the White Widow... Alright, so let's start off by... I'm a huge, huge Spider-Man fan. So anytime... Marvel has tokenized Spider-Man or race-swapped or gender-swapped Spider-Man. I was always really apprehensive about it. Why are they doing this? Is the story any good? And for the most part, the stories haven't been very good with Marvel and, you know, them swapping around Spider-Man. Peter Parker is Spider-Man. Let's leave it at that. Anywho, so we're moving on to a different company, though. I have seen other companies in the past come with a spider-like character. You know, they're trying to... I don't know so much if they're trying to piggyback the popularity of Spider-Man or not, but they try and create a new character with spider-like abilities. It usually doesn't work out. But with White Widow, the origin story is different. Things are changed up a bit. Her spider abilities are not so much like, you know, Peter Parker... was a nerdy kid that climbed up walls and such. Gabrielle Garcia's spider abilities come from whatever was in her father injected into her bloodstream. And that's where the comic starts. The comic starts with her father barging into her dorm room, saying, you know, we love you, we try to save you, injecting her with something, bam. Some feds break into the door, pointing guns. This, whatever her father injected her with, takes over. Creates this suit around her kind of deal. Almost kind of like a symbiote thing. But then the comic goes back, you know, a few days later, leading up to the point that we're at now. She's a geeky girl, you know. She's got some finals to do. She's in college. But she's also an athlete. So she goes out to play volleyball. She's playing volleyball. She goes to hit the ball. She falls, busts her face, passes out, gets a bloody nose. Next thing you know, she's in the hospital. Her parents are there, going over blood work and such like that. She gets up and leaves because she just thinks her parents don't love her, I guess. I don't know. She takes off. Then you cut to a scene with her parents. Her parents are talking. Evidently, what I can gather from this is that she has something wrong genetically in her blood system that they thought that they had overcome and had they had taken care of. But up to this point, now they see that her blood or her immune system is regressing, and she's getting sick and she's going to die. So they come up with some plan, some kind of plan. They don't tell us what it is. They just say, let's do it. And then the next scene is when her father's barging into her dorm room, gunshot, injecting her with this serum. Now, when the feds pull out their guns and aim them at her, tell her to freeze, this symbiotic suit thing that's in her blood now, or whatever it is in her blood, I guess we'll find out in later issues what it is, but it takes over. So it's basically, it's moving for her. She can't control it really. So, you know, when they're shooting, she falls out the window. It catches her. She lands perfectly fine. And then when they're shooting at her, lasers, I think that this says they have lasers. Well, this symbiotic thing stretches out and catches them so that way it doesn't harm her. But then it comes to a point that she starts thinking, these feds killed my mother. They killed my father. Now they're trying to kill me. I can kill them. And so she does. She destroys quite the many feds there until she realizes that people are watching her. So she takes off. And that's where it ends. So we need to get issue number 2 to delve in further into that world. And I got to say that whereas Katrina was the worst title in my point of view that Absolute Comics has had out, or the ones that I had, White Widow is by far my favorite. I think it was very well written, and the artwork by Jamie Tyndall was very, very good. Did a good job. Look forward to seeing what White Widow has in store for the future. And now we're going to move on to the final comic book. Actually, the comic that I have, Magica, is a title not directly from the Absolute Comic Group. It comes from Red Giant Entertainment. And as I read at the beginning of this podcast here, Absolute Comic Group was created to encompass both the Red Giant Entertainment and the Absolute Comics Group world and create them as one. So a brief synopsis from the website as to what Magica is about. A young boy discovers a magical world filled with strange mystical creatures who come into our world through a mound in his parents' backyard. Short and to the point. The title character's name is Nico. He is a kid. He's a grade school kid. He's having issues with bullies. There's a group of 3 bullies that are constantly picking on him, taking his money. And it comes to a point at the end of the book, at the end of the title, that they're in the woods. He's trying to escape them, and they corner him. And they say, look, I'll tell you what. Smoke this cigar with us, and you can be a part of our group. So, you know, it's a peer pressure thing. It's showing that, hey, do this, and we'll leave you alone because you can be one of us. He starts smoking a cigar. He chokes, throws it down. Forest catches on fire. Trees come alive. He starts freaking out. He's screaming for his grandmother to save him. And we see this fairy. I don't know what she is. Fairy, gargoyle, I don't know. She escaped from Magica earlier in the book. And she's been sitting there watching Nico in the woods here. She is trying to save him, but he reaches out and says, oh, no, you're a vampire. So he completely panics, and that's where the book ends. So we don't know exactly what happens with Nico. I'm going to have to try and get the next issue to see if we can find out what's going on. I mean, this title seems to be directed or aimed mainly at a younger crowd. So if anything, you know, I'll get him and give him to my son. Maybe I can get him away from some Iron Boy for a while and get him reading something else. Right? Anywho, that is it for the comics that I have from the Absolute Comics Group at this time. I have no doubt that in the future I will be owning more. I'm going to try and get every one of the other titles that I have. Maybe at some time in the future I will make an addition to this podcast here if I get any more titles. Now, my final thoughts. Absolute Comics Group. They definitely seem to be a standout. Well, to me they do anyway. One thing that I did notice, though, about the comics is that from all the ones that I have, all the titles that I have, they were all printed in China. Now, I'm sure this was done to make the product, to save money and to make the end product cheaper for the customer, and I understand that. But to be perfectly honest, me, I would have been willing to pay a little bit more for a title that was printed and put together here at home. But we'll see what the future holds. Again, I don't have any other newer titles, so I don't know if that's changed or if they're still being printed in China. We'll see as I get there. Now, did I like all the titles that I read? No. Did I find every title that I did read interesting? Absolutely. Even Katrina. Even though it's about a queen vampire and the first issue has no vampire at all. It has a bunch of lead up to the appearance, I guess. I don't know. The storyline, the concept that I read from the website, it's intriguing. It's interesting. I think I will look forward to getting a few more issues of Katrina to see if maybe it changed my mind a little bit there. Who knows? But yes, I did find all of the storylines or the actual books that I read interesting. I enjoy the shared universe that they're building. Now, and that's one thing you have to keep in mind. They are world building here. So even though I found some of the comics slow and drawn out or didn't like them at all, they are world building. So these first issues are going to be slow because they're building characters, they're building heroes, and they're giving them the reasons why they do what they do and how they act, why they act. So that's why I'm going to delve into a few more of these titles or issues from these titles to see if my attitude might change on some of the ones I didn't like too much. We'll see. Just give it time and enjoy the story as it comes. Now, all in all, I would say that Absolute Comics has something here. Now, I will continue to delve into the stories that they tell to see if they keep me entertained. Because, after all, that's why we read comics, right? To be entertained. So, I will look in the future to continue purchasing Absolute Comics Groups and Red Giant Entertainment comics. Hopefully, they keep going the way that they're going. So if you are out at your local store, your local comic book store, and you happen to find an Absolute Comics Group or a Red Giant Entertainment comic at your local store, pick it up. Give it a read. Let me know what you think. And as we come to a close here, I want to mention an upcoming project that I personally am hugely looking forward to. The Ripperverse. Eric July, young Ripper himself, has an impending release. He is creating his own comic book company. He is building his own comic book world under the title of The Ripperverse. Now, as soon as it launches, you can bet that I'm going to be spreading the word on that far and wide. Look for the Ripperverse in the near future. Until then, we'll catch you next time. Love, peace, and chicken grease, baby. And that's going to do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and letting me bend your ear for a while. But before you go, don't forget, you're wrong.
Later, Gator.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night, and God bless America.